Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Welcome as we celebrate and praise God's name for the 21st Sunday of Pentecost. Paul is truly among us. A few announcements before we get started. Please don't forget our Sunday school is back in motion at 9:15 each morning. We have three classes going right now, videos that teach. Emily and Katie are working with our younger kids in a Sunday school class, and I'm doing a contemporary and seasonal issue class in Fellowship Hall. So we're hoping that we can get more people back in the motion of going to Sunday school or trying Sunday school for the first time. I know it's easy to get stuck these last year and a half. We've been doing things without it, but we're hoping we can start to get some more people involved. Please get all your script orders into Doug today. We had to change our date because we were at the Village last week. And I just want to give a big shout out to everybody who attended that service, participated, led a group, heard a lot of great feedback from that Sunday. So it truly was great to get all of our county together for that worship, and hopefully we can do more fun things like that in the future. Elders will meet Monday night at 7 p.m. I'll reach out and text you sometime tomorrow to see if we want to do outside or on Zoom, depending on what the weather looks like or how warm or cold it is. Cares and prayers will be Wednesday, 1 p.m. on the front porch of the parsonage. We look forward to the opportunity to pray together once again for our community in need and for our church family. The joint board continues to mandate wearing masks in worship. We thank all of you, and inside the building as well, we thank all of you for continually willing to follow that, and we are grateful to have so many people participating and looking to do what's best for the health of our community. A church event that we're really excited to advertise for, Friday, October 29th, 6:30 to 9, that will be our CEC Halloween party. We will meet at the church at 6:30. We're asking you to please park in the gravel lot, and then we're going to have a truck and a trailer here that will be ready to take us through the Great Pumpkin Glow at Shenrun Village. And then you're welcome to drive your own car if you prefer. And then we will return to the church for a small trunk or treat in the front parking lot. So if you're interested in being a part of that, we have a sign-up sheet for cars in the narthex, so we really hope you can be a part of that. But for that trunk or treat, we will have grilled hot dogs, chips, drinks, and more for our kids. Bring lawn chairs and sticks for roasting marshmallows, and everyone is encouraged to wear a costume as we celebrate a great opportunity to gather and celebrate our youth. Friday, October 29th from 6:30 to 9. That's all I have for announcements at this time. Let us please stand and extend the right wave of fellowship. Good morning. You may be seated. Our watchword this week comes from Mark chapter 10, verse 45. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Amen.
Thank you.
Before we pray together the liturgy of adoration, one announcement I neglected to share with you is I forgot to remind you that today is a youth Sunday, so kids are invited to bring their toys and objects to me during our children's chat, and then after worship we'll have a brief little snack for the kids, and then we'll have a game that we can all play together. But we have a great chance to celebrate our youth. And as for our liturgy of adoration, we will have one of our elders behind us reading the responses along with you as a congregation, so that way people on our online service can hear it loud and clear as well. So at this time, I invite you to stand as we join together in the prayers of adoration. This is the day which the Lord has made.
We will rejoice and be glad in it.
From the rising to the setting of the sun,
the name of the Lord be praised.
Jesus Christ, our Lord, before the creation of the world.
You rescued us from the power of darkness and brought us safe into the kingdom of your dear Son.
In our union with Christ, you have blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly world.
You have made us worthy to share in that which you have reserved for your people in the kingdom of light.
Your love is so great that we may be called the children of God.
Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we join in proclaiming the glory of your name.
Christ Jesus, Son of the living God.
To you be glory at all times, in the church which waits on earth for you, and in that which is with you in heaven, now and forever.
Jesus, you are the eternal Word, who became a human being and lived among us.
Those who were yours saw the glory, the glory which you received as the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth.
In you, the full content of the divine nature dwells in a human body. You are the true God and eternal life.
Through you, the whole universe is reconciled to God.
You made peace through your death on the cross.
Therefore, God raised you to the highest place above and gave you the name which is greater than any other name.
Here is my teacher, guide, and comforter.
We proclaim your righteousness and praise.
You pour out the love of God into the hearts of all believers and make their bodies your holy temples.
By our own reason and strength, we cannot believe in Jesus Christ our Lord or come to him. But you call us through the gospel and enlighten us with gifts of grace.
You dedicate us to God and the true faith, and you enable us to remain in union with Jesus Christ.
We praise you together with the Father and the Son, now and forever.
Says, I am the God who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and will not remember your sins. Go and sin no more. Please stand as we'll join together in the Nicene Creed. Lord, make us truly one in spirit with all your faithful people as we profess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
You may be seated as we hear from Scripture.
Our first reading of the Scriptures comes from Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 through 12. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But we was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his words we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears in the night. So he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer, and through the Lord makes his life a guilty offering. He will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his land. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong. And our second reading comes from Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 31. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." At this the man's face fell. He went away sad, because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Peter said to him, "We have left everything to follow you." "I tell you the truth," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, and with them persecutions. And in the age of to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first."
Amen. Thanks be to God. We now turn our hearts and our minds to a time of prayer and a time of reflection. I'm once again reminding those of you that are joining us online that we will have some prayer slides up for some personal prayer concerns in our congregation. But those of you that are online, you can go to our weekly prayer chain or take some time of personal reflection and prayer as Angie leads us through some guided meditation music. In our prayers this week, prayers that I can share with you, we offer prayers of sympathy and resurrection hope to the family of Claudia Clark after her passing. She would be Doug Miller's aunt, so we uplift your family in prayer at this time as they surround her in West Virginia. A great prayer of joy for our congregation, the birth of Beverly June Miller. Alyssa and Justin Miller gave birth to this beautiful child of God on Saturday. She weighs 6.5 pounds, is 19 inches. Her and Mom are doing okay. They're hanging in. Leah is at Akron Children's Hospital, NICU, battling a serious infection. So we ask for continued prayer for her. She's certainly quite a fighter, and she's got a great support system around her. So your prayers of joy and continued strength are welcomed by the family. And we have a pink rose in celebration of Leah today, not just for her, but in congratulations to her parents, Justin and Alyssa, grandparents, Doug and Angie. I'm not sure if it's Nana and Papa or Grandma and Grandpa yet, but we'll have that conversation yet. And great grandparents, Jim and Linda Karcher, and Alicia Miller, an aunt who is working the trade fair today. But what a wonderful joy for our church family. We continue to pray for the health, safety, and peace of our world. We pray for the many people who continue to be impacted by COVID. We pray especially for the areas of the world that have been hit hard by the Delta variant. As we think of specific groups of people to pray for this week, I ask prayers for any of our young people who are considering the healthcare profession or studying that right now or going to college. We were just talking recently to a good friend of ours who just finished nursing school, actually a good friend of Lauren Stewart as well, who just finished nursing school as well from Yorksville, and just to hear some of the sacrifices they're making to serve in the healthcare field for the first time. Continue to give thanks to the people who are willing to answer the call, even when it's difficult to do so, when they're willing to take those roles. So give send a card, give a shout out, and send some thanks to them as well. We also want to offer continued prayers. I'm not sure if you're aware what's going in Haiti, but 17 missionaries have been abducted, Christian missionaries in Haiti, by different gangs there. So we continue to pray for a peaceful resolution there and that all of those people are able to return home or to their mission safely. Some other joys we get to share this week. Stacy Castor and Missy Martin are celebrating birthdays today, so we wish them happy birthdays, and we hope many others who are celebrating birthdays and anniversary this month. Sorry, I didn't have a chance to look at the entire list before I started today, but we are grateful to have so much joy to celebrate in the midst of our congregation. So let us take these concerns, these joys, and these blessings, and let's take this time to uplift them to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come to gather today as a community of believers, grateful for the presence of Jesus Christ in our lives, grateful for the fact that you bring us together, because we realize that faith is something we are called to experience in community, to uplift, to praise, and serve your name. So help us to continue to do all those things faithfully. Gracious God, we come before you with many concerns on our hearts. We think especially of baby Leah and her battle. We think of all those who are grieving. We think of all those who are hurting right now, all those waiting test results, those completing rehab, those who are not sure what the next step in life is going to be. Help them to know that you, God, have already walked that path for them. You, God, will walk with us every step of the way. So help us to not be fearful and to be courageous people. Be willing to sacrifice, because we know at the end of the day, that sacrifice is worth it. So open our hearts, open our minds, and open our ears to what you have to say to us. And help us to listen, because this world shouts at us. But we need to take a step back and listen to the voice of God, which calls out to us and reminds us that compassionate living and compassionate giving is what we are called to do. So may we be those people and continue to keep Christ in all we say, all we do, and all we pray. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. At this time, we turn to our offering, once again reminding you that we'll not be passing the plate back and forth, but there is a plate in the back for you if you'd like to make an in-person gift. We continue to give thanks for the wonderful fellowship of the church. We have great fellowship as well, but we also have great stewardship as people continue to give faithfully and so consistently. And in our community, one special thing I want to make note of is if you go to our Facebook page this week, you'll see that the homeless shelter is in need of welcome bags for some of the young people who are coming to the shelter, some of the other people that are coming to the shelter. So there's a specific list of items on there. I don't have that list in front of me now, but I encourage you to check that out. And if there's something you can give, or if there's something you can give but you don't have the opportunity to go down there, please let me know. That's no issue for us at all to transport any of those items. So please look for opportunities where you can serve God in this church and in this community. Let us please rise as we join together in the offertory prayer. Pray together the prayer of dedication. Loving God, may we offer ourselves and our resources to you in order to show the world the goodness and mercy of your holy ways. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, we will have our children's chat. At this time, I invite our kids, if you have any items or toys or objects, please bring them forth in front of the pulpit, and we'll go ahead and use those. That way, everybody on our screen can see them as well. Absolutely. Ooh, we got a good group. Oh, you got a controller and a thing, right? Oh, okay, that's cool. Very cool. Awesome. Whew, I got an absolute assortment of stuff today, huh? Well, you knew I was going to gravitate to that first, right? I was away watching football past Sunday. So what we're talking about today is sacrifice. Christ calls us to sacrifice as disciples. It's not a word that we hear very often in our vernacular. Usually we talk about the blessing God's bestow upon us or all these wonderful things. But sacrifice is a word that we don't hear often in our culture. So one of the things you can judge how much you love something, whether it's a sport, whether it's football, whether it's an activity like music or choir or band, is by knowing how much you are willing to sacrifice to do it, to be a part of it. What are you willing to do? Because my dream is I wanted to be quarterback for the Green Bay Packers since I was like 4 years old, or to be the star first baseman for the Milwaukee Brewers. But you gotta be willing to put in a lot of work to get to that place. You gotta be willing to get up at 6 a.m. and ride your horse around town and strengthen your legs and strengthen your body in order to be quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, right? I'm not just gonna wake up one day and have all that athletic ability. You gotta work for it. You gotta be willing to do it. And I think that's important because there's a lot of different things in life we can control and we can't control. And absolutely, what are some things we can control? Let's see, how strong I am, I can work out. What about how tall I am, Nick? How much control do I have over that? Not a lot. If I spend all day stretching and doing this, doing the Gumby thing, you think I'll get much taller? My mom even told me to drink coffee when I was younger, when I was getting too tall, but that didn't work either. I just ended up being 6'4", because I was naturally tall. So there's some things we can control, some things we can't control. And some of us are built like little Pumbaa to be offensive linemen. We know that sometimes. We're a little stronger, we're a little huskier, but that is one of the funnest positions to play in sports. And I know somebody's a center back there, yeah? That is one of the funnest positions to play because you're in charge of the offensive line and you get to hit somebody every single play. And here's the problem in life. Too many people are in a race to be the best at everything. Sometimes it takes time to learn something. Sometimes it takes time to be good at something. Of my kids here, how many here have learned a musical instrument? And Charlotte, you play oboe, right? Or bassoon, sorry. How long did it take you, how long have you played bassoon? 2.5 years? How long did you play it before you felt like comfortable, like this was my instrument? Okay, it took some time, absolutely. Tyler, you've played guitar. How long have you played guitar? Absolutely. Do you start to feel comfortable with it yet? Good, yeah. It takes time to learn how to do the things we love. And if we race through it, one of my biggest mistakes in life when I was Charlotte's age and Nick's age is I too started to learn to play the guitar. But guess what? I took 3 lessons. And it turns out I wasn't a Beatle, I wasn't a rock star, I was just barely able to play Ode to Joy. And so I didn't have the patience to get better at it. I was too busy trying to get to the finish line, trying to get to the race of it all. So when it comes down to your faith, when it comes down to you being a disciple of Jesus Christ, you got to ask yourself that question. What are you willing to give up to follow Jesus? Because sometimes it means giving up football or something you love for a day. Sometimes it means giving up control of things in your life. The life you thought you were going to live or lead, Christ can change it. And sometimes it's just slowing down and spending time with God, not racing too far. To remember that the goal in life isn't to win the race. It's to serve God. And if when we finish our life on this earth, we want to know that we were great disciples for Jesus. And nobody's going to care whether we were quarterback of the Green Bay Packers or whether we were an Olympic gold medalist or whether we were champion violinist. People are going to care that we are a good person and that we serve God. Because at the end of the day, that's what matters. Let's have a moment of prayer. Gracious God, we come before you and I thank you for these kids and all the energy and enthusiasm they bring to our congregation, and just continue to help them to remember that there are times in life they are going to have to sacrifice, not just for their faith, but for the things they find joy and love and creativity in. Help them to see that when you truly love something, sacrifice should come easy. It still be a lot of work, but it still should be something you should be willing to do. So help us to sacrifice, to be better students, to be better at the things we love, and most importantly, to be better disciples of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. One sec. You guys can get these back after our sermon today, or I'm sorry, after worship today before you head down to children's chat. I'm just going to move them out of the way so I don't bump them during my sermon. Although, if I need to travel from pulpit to around, I still may use the horse. Who knows? Oh, goodness gracious. There's probably a bishop who's rolling their eyes that I have Lion King and computer controllers right near our altar at the church, but we're gonna transition. So we're very similar in our message today and into our children's chat. We're talking about what are you willing to give up in life to serve Jesus. Let's look at that scripture that Steve read for us before, beginning with verse 20 from chapter 10 of Matthew. He said, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. He had many possessions. So what we have in front of us today is this parable of this rich man that we are going to digest. And rich has a lot of connotations and a lot of things that our minds think about when we hear that word. So the first thing I want you to do is get your whiteboards out right now, and I want you to tell me what the word rich, R-I-C-H, means to you. What does it mean to you that somebody is rich? What does it mean to be rich? Do you need a marker, or?
No.
Oh, you've already got an answer. You got to show me your other side, though. Or did you write it?
You can't really
see it. Oh, okay, that's okay. Like I said, I can get you a darker marker. But take another 30 seconds or so. Rylan. You good with? Oh, you good? Okay. All right, another 10 seconds. All right, let's see what you got. What does it mean to be rich? To have enough for your needs and wants. I like that. Well set, does not need help. Have a lot. Dollar signs by Rylan back there, absolutely. Not waiting for anything. Excess. What do you got back here from Tyler? Money, greedy, wealthy, famous. Have things that money can't buy. Royalty, wealthy, absolutely. I think about the people that don't have to look at the end of the month or every single purchase they make and have to wonder about, oh, do I have more money coming in and less money coming out type of people. People who just know that they have an abundance of stuff. So a lot of different definitions today. And what was interesting, I started writing this sermon, and those of you that know me a little about my process, is to get my creative juices going in a morning, I'll often start with some music, just to start thinking about what's going on in my head. And when I started this sermon of the rich man parable, I just so happened to be listening in the background. I did not choose this song, it came up on my playlist, but it was a song that was 3 or 4 years old from Kenny Chesney. And for me, it was a new song, I had never heard it before. I just First song I heard when I was writing about this parable, and then the song was called Rich and Miserable. Have any of you heard that song before? Maybe not as much. I'm a huge country music fan. Now that it's gone more pop country, I'm not quite as much into it. I usually like the old Alan Jackson, Big and Rich type of stuff. Big and Rich is old school now. That's weird to think about. But anyways, it was this song, Rich and Miserable. And it was so topical to what I was preaching about, what I was thinking about, that I knew better than to call that a coincidence. That's one of those moments where God knocks and you need to listen, because God is talking to you. And when I was watching this video, it starts with this 2.5 minute monologue. And it starts with one of my favorite actors, John C. McGinley. Some of you may not recognize that name, but if you've seen Scrubs, he's Dr. Cox, one of my favorite actors of all time. But he plays a college philosophy professor. And he's lecturing his college philosophy class in the beginning of this music video on the epidemic of American society being rich and being miserable. Because we're a society that has more money than most cultures, but if you look at all the polls that track joy, that track happiness, that track satisfaction, America is not in the top of those lists. It's other countries that happen to have a lower gross domestic product than we do, that tend to have more joy. So he's looking at this. Why are we rich and miserable? And this is what he said. Whatever you think you want out of life, or whatever you believe life may owe you, I want you to put that all aside. And I want you to think about one thing. I want you to think about not what you will take. I want you to think about what you will give. What will you be so rich with that you will be willing to share it with the entire world? I want you to distill that all down to one word. Come up here, and then he actually has the students write it on the board, the one word that they have, and walk out of the door and then give it to the world. Give it to the world. And you see, this is almost exactly the same thing I hear Jesus saying in our gospel message to the rich man. A man that he loved. We hear that in Scripture. You don't hear that often, especially from Matthew and Mark. But you could tell that Jesus had affection for this man. But the question that he had for him is, what are you willing to give up to follow me? Because at the end of the day, discipleship has very little to do with how gifted you are or how many possessions you have. It's all about sacrifice, sacrificial love. And that is why when you open up your Bible and you spend time in the Gospels and you read about the disciples, you don't hear a whole lot about how talented they are, about how gifted Peter is at all these different things. We don't hear that Peter was specifically recruited because he was an excellent teacher or preacher, or that Judas was headhunted because he would make an excellent treasurer for the 12. James and John weren't brought on because the fish fries they could put together would make more money for the church mission fund. These 12 were the disciples of Christ because they shared one thing in common. These 12 people were willing to walk away from everything they were attached to, their jobs, their money, their possessions. And they were willing to surrender all those things so that they could follow Jesus. Sacrificial love, that was their gift. That was their talent. So when we look at this rich man and his struggle to give up that one thing in his life, his possessions, he's willing to do everything but this one thing. What are the things that you are clinging to right now that are keeping you from giving God your all? And I'm sure most of us are well and good and happy to give God 50%, 75%, or even 90%. But there is always something that holds us back from giving God 100% focus and dedication that the divine calls us to, that God asks us to. So what is your one thing? Is it a fear of money like this man had, that you will never have enough money saved away to relax and be happy? Is it a fear that your 100% dedication won't be good enough or make a difference in the world? Or is it a deeper fear that your insecurities have more control over your life than your gifts? You see, sacrifice is required of all of us on our faith walks. There comes a time where we all must be willing to give up far more than we ever thought of giving. It is different for each of us, too. It's different things, but we all carry the same weight of something that we have to give that is just a lot for us to give. And in fact, one of the most consistent biblical things we experience in Scripture is that a true calling from God is almost always predictably followed by two responses. If someone is truly called by God, they respond with two things. Number one is, I'm not doing that. Number two, send someone else to do it. If you want to know somebody, it's kind of a joke in ministry, but if you want to know somebody has a true calling from God, God's not calling you to tell you you won the lottery or that he's given you a private jet for your new ministry. God's putting you to work. You almost know that person has a true call if they're complaining about how difficult and how much is being asked of them. Think about the list of people who follow those guidelines in Scripture. Abraham, Sarah laughed at God. Moses, Jonah, Joseph, Peter, the Apostle Paul, and even Jesus told God to take this cup from him at some point. We all have that one thing that makes us reluctant to say yes for God. And for me, on my faith journey, my call to ministry, my one thing was geography. Because I pulled out this map and I said, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I am called to be your servant and I will serve you anywhere on this planet you call me. Well, I've got one exception. It has to be right there between Madison and Milwaukee, Wisconsin. That's where I feel called that God is calling me. But I will serve you anywhere between those two dots right there. Just don't X out the rest of this right here. Oh, Ohio State fans over there, Michigan fans over there. Let's see. That's what I told God. That was the one caveat that I had in my call to ministry. You can call me God, but you better call me home. Because I said yes to Jesus. But I had conditions. I wanted to see my family every week. I wanted to see my mom and dad. I wanted to see my nieces and nephews. I wanted to keep coaching baseball, which was one of my passions. And I had a team that I was very close with. I wanted to be able to go home on my couch after church every day and know that the Green Bay Packers were going to be on television. And I could cheer all the bad field goal kicks that we had in a week and still know that we were going to find a way to win. And for me, geography was incredibly tough to give up. And I even remember when I drove out finally and I finally accepted that call and I went out to seminary, I cried through every different state I drove through. I think Illinois, it was just getting through Chicago and all that traffic down there. But Indiana, I was like, oh my God, I'm so far away from home. Ohio, what's going on here? And Pennsylvania, oh my gosh, it was such a long state. 6 hours to go across Pennsylvania all the way to Bethlehem. Any of you have driven that, you know how long that can be. And the funny thing is, if you know this story, I've shared it with you before, my car broke down 50 miles short of seminary. So I was thinking, when that first happened, I'm like, God, if you're sending me a sign that you don't want me to go to seminary, You should have done it after, before I signed my lease, excuse me. You're a little too late in the game. But what I think now is I think God realized how difficult it was to get me there. So he was going to break down my car to make sure I stayed there, because I wasn't going to have the opportunity to go back home. But once I finally said yes, once I was finally willing to give up those restrictions that I had in my life, when I was finally willing to see that God wasn't just between Madison and Milwaukee, Wisconsin, I was able to see that God was in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. And then I got called to New Philadelphia, Ohio, and I saw that God was well at work in New Philadelphia as well, and amongst the people that I call lucky to serve. And God had a plan for me. God had a wife waiting for me. God had a family waiting for me. God had a loving church family waiting for all of us. But what I had to be willing to do, what I had to be willing to sacrifice, was to go beyond my own self-imposed boundaries. So brothers and sisters, the lesson here is to trust in the Lord and be willing to go beyond your own self-imposed limitations. Because I'm sure there is some way in your life that you are holding back. And it could be that geography, it could be something else. But remember, God has made a habit out of leading people to the promised land. And God will lead you too. Now, this isn't a time for me to beat my chest and say, look at me, I gave my all, why aren't you doing your all? That's not the message at all. Because the truth is, for me, the older I get, the more money I receive, the more comfortable I live my life, the more possessions that I have. As I become a parent, the less free time that I have in my day, the harder it becomes to make those sacrifices and truly give God my all. And that is why we have to stay vigilant. That's why we have to keep reminding ourselves what it's all about. We can't lose sight of the fact that God gives us far more than we can possibly imagine, especially when we hold nothing back from God. And even when we think we're incapable of sacrifice, God has something greater in mind. So I want to end our time today with that question from Rich and Miserable that I shared with you earlier. What will you be so rich with in your life that you will be willing to share it with the entire world? And I want you to distill that down to one word. And you know what I'm going to ask you to do right now? I'm going to ask you to get your whiteboard. Give me one or two words of something that you can give, that you are rich with. Doesn't have to be a possession thing. Could be a faith, hope, love, listening type of thing. And I want you to write it on your whiteboard. Because there's one or two things in this world that we are capable to giving to God. And you see this word in front of me, misery. Right now, people are dealing with misery. But if we make sacrifices, if we're willing to be rich to others with the one or two things that we have in this world, we can turn misery into joy. We can show people how joyful and loving and awesome this world can be. So take a minute and tell me, what are the things that you can share with this world?
Thank you.
10 more seconds. All right, let's see. What are some of those responses? Some of those things we're going to share. Hope, faith, happiness, contentment, being happy with where we are. Love, I love that, Aubrey. Kindness, Rylan. Love, Brandon, good one. Time, love, passion. Tyler's got manners, absolutely. Friendship, leadership. Think about the gifts we can give when we are willing to step up and be leaders. Tim's got hope, positive energy. I love that. Love, empathy, listening. Empathy is such a word that we don't hear often in our society. But imagine if we're willing to do that, to sit with somebody and really be with them and not judge them. Music, faith, love. I put compassionate listening on mine. These are all tremendous gifts, people. You are gifted. You have the ability to share those gifts. So your homework today, as you know what you are capable of giving to God, and you know how tremendous and wonderful those gifts are. So I don't want you to say when you think about, oh, I'm a faithful or hopeful person, oh, I should be more faithful, I should be more hopeful. I don't want you to criticize yourself. I want you to utilize yourself. Live into the gifts that you know you were born to share with this world. And I want you to leave this sanctuary, and I want you to be dedicated to sharing those gifts with other people, impacting God for the world. Because give it to your neighbors, give it to your family, and especially give it to God. 100% of those gifts that you have. And watch God at work in your life. Watch the wonderful things that come your way. All because you are willing to give something of yourself. So let's come out of this message today committed, to sacrificial and godly love. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come before you and we just ask for your help today. I've listened and read many people share their gifts today. Call them to use them in different ways in their world. Don't make them feel like they need to have some huge Superman calling, but help them to look for small ways in their lives that they can impact people with their gifts. Whether it's love, whether it's hope, whether it's faith, whether it's kindness or empathy or contentment or compassionate listening or any of these gifts that we share. Help us to use it all for you. Because we know, God, that you are the greatest of all resources. And you will truly, truly use everything we have for your kingdom. So help us to live out the sacrificial love that you call us to do. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. We'll now hear our final song as we carry this gift of sacrificial love with us into the world.
Thank you.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.